Greetings of love in our dear Savior's name to all gathered here this evening. Special occasion in the life of Alicia and Tashana. I trust we have been praying, and I trust that it is the continuation of the beginning of a walk. And I think as I share this evening, I mentioned to my wife right before I got up here, I said, I wonder how it feels behind this pulpit. Did you ever realize that some pulpits feel better than others? I'm sorry. I'm just letting a few secrets out. You know what I mean? Yeah, some feel better than others. I'll let you know how this one feels after we're through. Kind of a privilege to be able to share in this special service this evening. As I reflected upon this work this evening, I go right back to the garden. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, we find that God created. Heaven was without form, darkness upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Let's think about this a little bit this evening. Has the Spirit of God moved upon the face of your heart? Are you with me? Has the Spirit of God moved upon the face of your heart? Now, when we think about this in the life of the two younger ones here this evening, how long does that Spirit continue to go in that journey with Christ? And maybe we could even reflect upon this tonight, that how in the last while, how fervent has been that Spirit in your heart, in your life, and mind? Has it grown sweeter and sweeter every day? My wife would say that when her father left the house to go out milk the cows, she'd hear the door bang, and then he'd say, "Good morning, Lord." Does that say something? You know, the windows were open, the screen was open, and now I'm sure she knew that before she heard it. But that speaks about a friendship. It speaks about a lordship. It speaks about a fellowship. With God Almighty. Now, dear ones, this evening, either that Spirit in our heart is alive and well, or it's still void upon the face of the deep. Amen? Yeah. I invite you to turn with me this evening to in the beginning of the church. In Acts chapter 2, I'd like to read verses 37 to verse 41 and draw some thoughts from this passage. And we find that this is on the day of Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with all one accord in one place. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And reading in verse 37, Acts chapter 2. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. 3 points this evening. First one being, they were pricked in their heart. Secondly, the question is asked, what shall we do? And thirdly, we find the command that is given, repent and be baptized. Pricked in their heart. I must admit, when I thought about that, give me a definition of what prick means. You know, one day this week I decided to take some weeds off of a bush, and you know what was in there? A briar. And I left one of those needles in my finger. You know, I felt it. I knew right where it was at. Didn't even have to guess. There was a defining moment of pain, wasn't it? When I reflect upon the innocency of children, of young people, there's a certain amount of peace in that, isn't there? Ignorance. There's a reflection of, I don't know what you're worried about. I don't know why you're moved. But then in the all-wise providence of God, he sends forth his Holy Spirit. And I trust you and I are able to relate to this tonight, that I would confess to you that when I began to be pricked in my heart, I didn't know what it was at the outset. It was part of a journey. I had to learn. And then after a while, it seemed like whether it is the family altar or whether it's at the meeting house or whether it's what somebody said or what somebody did, after a while I began to realize that the pricking of the Spirit upon one's heart became more vivid and became more real. And you know, as the guilt of God came on through that Holy Spirit, there came upon my soul a certain amount of fear. I dreaded the nighttime. I dreaded to hear a message about the second coming of Christ, because I knew I wasn't ready. And then they have these invitations to revival meetings and things. And you know what? That's when dread filled in. You know what I mean? Dear ones, we live in a land of a conflict, don't we? The devil is out to garner your soul. Thank God the Holy Spirit is also there to garner your soul. What will you choose? In the all-wise providence of God, he has given humanity the real state of choice. We all make a choice, don't we? Yes, I've heard it said as we gathered together at the graveyard, I hope he was right with his soul. Dear ones, the assurance can be a whole lot stronger than that. A whole lot more real. Some time ago, I was called upon to have a memorial service of a mother that lived in our community, and her son committed suicide. Not sure whether it's of his own volition or of his carelessness, he took an overdose and was gone. Now, dear ones, what would you say if you were called upon to have a memorial service? That day, about 75 people were in attendance. Friends, comrades, associates. You know, dear ones, you can't preach to the dead. You can only preach to the living. But you know what troubled me that day so much? Yes, I was troubled above the remains of the remembrance of one who once lived and now was cold. But then I also remembered with that in that audience, I think there was about 5 people that recognized or confirm something of truth. I'm not sure they said an audible amen, you know what I mean? But I knew there was about 5 that were on the same real estate I was. But also, I remember that of the other 70, they looked on stone cold, didn't seem to have an understanding. Dear ones, if you and I are experiencing the pricking of the heart, you and I need to understand that is the love of God. The God sending forth of his Holy Spirit. If you have a guilty conscience, you thank God for that work. If you're pricked in your heart, you thank God for the work. God is near. Before the age of accountability, it's from peace to a guilty conscience. That's the first step. And then there can be no, without knowledge, without an awareness. But then there's that moment whereby it turns from confusion to understanding. There's a scripture in 1 John chapter 3, verse 20. It reads like this. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Now let's think about that for a little bit. 1 John chapter 3, verse 20. For if our heart condemn us, on the day of Pentecost, that crowd, that audience, they were pricked in their heart. If God condemn us, God is greater in our heart and knoweth all things. You know, I taught school long time ago, but there's still some things that I remember of that of school. And I remember the day when some drink money was gone, stolen. I knew there was a certain amount of dollar bills in there, and after school we checked it, and the dollar bills, the paper, the coins were still there, but the dollar bills were gone. The next day I said, what do you do? You know what? So many times in life, we think the best thing to do is just ignore the problem. Are you with me? That's not the solution. But sometimes we feel that, you know what? It's as long as we ignore the problem, that it just might go away. How many times do problems go away? That's really ignorant, isn't it? You better face them, because the little problems, they get bigger. So the next day I said, you know, to the class, I said, I know, and some of you know in this classroom, that there's probably money missing out of that drink box that was sitting on the teacher's desk. I said, I'll tell you what we'll do. How about each one of you students come into my office one by one, and I'll ask you a question. Only one question. How do you like to go to the office with the teacher? How do you like to go to the office with the teacher when you have a guilty conscience? You know, as one student after another came in, I think there was about 18 or 20 of them all together. I mean, they sat down on the chair. We closed the door. I said, I have one question. Same one for all of them. Did you steal the money out of the drink money carton? And you know, one student after another, they sat down and said, no. They could even smile about it. You know why? They had a clear conscience. Of all those students that came into my office that day, one by one, two of them said this. No, I didn't steal the money because, and they gave me an excuse. Do you think I knew who stole the money? Twenty of them said, not me. 18 walked out. It wasn't them. Two of them said, it's not me. Because they gave an excuse why it wouldn't be them. If our heart condemn us, God is greater than our hearts and knows all things. If we go back into our text a little bit, as I already alluded to there, the prophetic scripture relates to the fact that I will pour out my spirit in the last days. In Acts chapter 2, verse 17, and it shall come to pass in the last days, say God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Going down to verse 20, and the sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood before that great notable day of the Lord. You looking forward to the Lord's coming? Alicia, Shoshana, and to every child of God here this evening, I trust you and I are looking forward to the coming of the Lord. Won't that be a moment of expectation, a moment of anticipation? Some of you know that I would say this about 2 years ago. I was on deathbed. You know, when the doctor comes to the ER and says, "Mr. Schmidt, we have something to say to you." Somehow we listen. You know what I mean? All of a sudden, undivided attention, we listen. He says, "Mr. Schmidt," he says, "you have an infection in the back of your hip." He said, "It's 9 millimeter by 5 millimeter. He said, "We think you might have septus. You might have one day and be gone." You know what I would share with you from that experience tonight? For the child of God, you can walk the gangplank from the temporal to the eternal, and it can be a peaceful walk. In fact, I must admit there once, I've got so close to heaven, when you begin to smell heavenly air, this earth holds no promise till you see your family. And then you're torn between the two. Are you with me? Are you guilty before God? Are you guilty before men? The audience that was gathered there on the day of Pentecost said, "What shall we do? How can I be released from this guilt, from this pain of a guilty conscience?" I hasten to share with you a remedy tonight. And I'd like to go back to Psalms 51. Psalms 51, verse 17, reads like this. "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." A broken and contrite heart. Surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. "Not my will, but thine be done." When the Apostle Paul was arrested by that heavenly voice on the road to Damascus, he responded with this: "Who art thou, Lord?" Do you get the point? A man that thought he was on the right road, a man that thought he was doing the will of the Lord, but upon the voice from heaven, he answers, "Who art thou, Lord?" And a voice from heaven said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest." I'm the Lord that sent that voice. "What will thou have me to do?" He was the second question that the apostle asked. "What will thou have me to do?" You know, dear ones, brokenness and a contrite heart would heal a lot of our spiritual ailments. When we're willing to give it up and give it over. And I would also hasten to say this. The Spirit of God doesn't tell you everything at one time. Are you with me? You know, I have a long time. I have a long ways to look back anymore. if God would have told me. What would he have asked? He would have told me where he would have taken me, where I've gone. If he would have told me what I've seen, if he would have told me what I've heard, I probably would have said, Lord, God forgive me, but I'm going to be like Jonah. I'm going to run. But the Spirit of God told Saul that day, I want you to go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. To Shauna and Alicia, and to each one gathered here this evening, if you don't know what God's asking, just plead with him to tell you. Cover the light from heaven. But we are called upon to have an obedient voice, obedient response. I have found that the Lord gives continual leading if we're obedient to what we know we should do. Don't be like Saul. He wanted a blessing. He wanted another blessing. He wanted another blessing. And he even, I don't know how you'd find out in 2 Samuel, how he endeavored to bring Samuel back from the dead. But there was there a voice through the dead prophet that said, Saul, remember Amalek. Remember what you did back there? Now you're in a fix. Now you're in a pinch. The Philistines are before you. Now you want my blessing? Now you want my Spirit's leading? No, if you're not faithful with the little things, we're not going to be faithful with the greater things. What shall we do? Thirdly, the Scripture says, repent and be baptized. You know, when Jesus began his earthly ministry, you know what the cry was? Repent and be baptized. You know what the early church, you know what the message was? Repent and be baptized. You know what the church needs to cry today? Same message. The remedy for all mankind of the ills of heart, of the ills of conscience, is to repent. Thank God for those this evening that have responded in repentance. What is repentance? If I were to ask you tonight, give me a definition of repentance, what would you tell me? Well, first of all, repentance, I believe, includes a knowledge of sin. And that is brought about by the work of the Holy Spirit. A knowledge of sin. There's some things that are right and some things that are wrong. You say, how do I know? By the Holy Word of God. Do you ever realize that if you listen to some people long enough and endeavor to learn all you can, you're going to find someone that's going to give acceptance to what is not right. I mean, that's, and you know what we do sometimes? We even sometimes like to go to the doctor tell us what we like to hear. Don't we do that? Yeah, I don't like what the doctor told me today. I might as well try another doctor. Go for a second opinion. I think sometimes we've done that in spiritual things too, haven't we? I'm sorry, I'm being too frank, am I? No. Sometimes we've asked for the third opinion and the fourth and the fifth. And from the very beginning, we knew what the inspired Word of God said. The knowledge of sin is sin that is of any action, that is any thought or attitude That is against God's standard. That is contrary to God's law, God's will. When one repents, we accept God's word as the final authority. You know, just last 2 weeks ago, counseling with a man, he told me, he said, I was, this man a couple days ago, he was trying to help me. He said, he's trying to help me move. And he said, he really bothered me. I said, well, what'd he do? He told me that I wasn't living right. He said, I'm divorced and remarried. He told me, he said, that's the unholy union. I ought not to be living that way. Then he says, Jonathan, what do you think? You know what I found out over the years? The devil will provide some kind of alibi, some kind of justification. Yeah. He said, well, she broke up the vow. She left me. Did he not vow? Did he not vow for better, for worse? First John chapter 3, verse 4 says, sin is a transgression of the law. And James chapter 1, verses 13 to 15, we find here the step of sin. The work of sin. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. Of his own lust. Not someone else's. Of his own lust. And enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. A few verses later, it says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. There is that knowledge of sin. And when we're convinced of the right and wrong of it, and we know we're in sin, those impurities of conscience and soul must be cleansed. And the way to do that is to confess your sin. You know, I must admit, there's been many times in the counseling room I almost held my breath. I really didn't want to hear what they were going to say. You know what I mean? But I also knew the only way to cleanse the conscience is through the confession of the tongue. I have sinned. The disciples were out there on the Sea of Galilee fishing. Jesus walking on the water. When they knew it was the Lord. One of the disciples says, it is the Lord. What did Peter do? He gathered his fishing coat on him. And then you know what he says? Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. I guess it wasn't a peace in his heart yet, was it? We know how Peter denied Christ 3 times. And then what happened? The rooster crowed. Some time ago, I gave a message, when the rooster crows. I don't know if you're hearing the rooster crow tonight or not. Only the Lord knows your heart. But thank God there came a day after Jesus was ascended into heaven. He came back. Disciples again were on the Sea of Galilee. And then there's a burning coals on the seashore. Jesus tells his disciples, come and dine. Come and dine. And then he says to Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? You get it in the Greek. It's not. Peter says, Lord, I'd like you. Peter didn't use the same agape love term as the Lord asked. Jesus asked him again the second time, Peter, do you love me? And Peter said, I'd like you. Then Jesus asked Peter the third time. Didn't that bring back every memory? Dear ones, the rooster was still crowing. And there we find that Peter confessed, and I only like you. In fact, he said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I only like you. But there was a direction given there. Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. Achan. Children of Israel just got into the promised land. There was the conquering of Jericho, and surely that little AI, that would be. Didn't work out that way, did it? In Joshua chapter 7, verse 21, Achan confesses with his mouth, he said, I coveted, I took, and I hid. You know, dear ones, those four steps of iniquity are still taking place today. That's why it says there in James, we're drawn away of our own lust and enticed. And when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. So, dear ones, repentance is not only the knowledge of sin and the confession of sin. Repentance also includes the forsaking of sin. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Yes, the Apostle Paul became a chosen vessel. Alicia, Tashana, and to every child of God here this evening, I trust you know and understand that you have answered the call of God and you're walking in a walk of obedience. You are a chosen vessel for His glory. You're not a castaway. You are something. You are someone. God has a work for you. Follow His will. even for the thief on the cross. One of the thieves on the cross. Dying because of his own iniquity. He rebukes the other thief. And in Luke chapter 23, verses 41 and 42, the thief says, "This man has done nothing amiss." Jesus Christ, the perfect one, the Savior, the Son of God. And then he says to the man in the middle, "Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus gave the assurance, the confirmation, today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Where did it start? In the moving of the Spirit upon the face of the waters. In the moving of the Spirit upon your heart and mine. Where will it end? I trust it ends of that familiar passage, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joys of thy Lord." You know, dear ones, tonight, I trust we're able to say in unison, it is a blessing to be a child of God. The greatest of blessings. I trust you're able to give confirmation that you have received the gift of the Holy Ghost, that he is the comforter, that he may abide with you. How long? Forever. The Spirit of God wants to dwell within us, shall be in you, never alone. In fact, when Jesus spoke about the coming of the Holy Spirit, he says, "Peace I leave with you." I'll close with this evening. A number of years ago now, I received a phone call. The lady on the other end lives in a place there in Quakertown in a retirement, semi-retirement, federally funded project. We've had different services in her apartment. In fact, it smelled so bad like smoke that if you went to take your breath, you'd lost your breath. I'd hang my coat out, air it out, so I could wear it the next time, you know what I mean? Five of them usually assembled for that Bible study and singing of hymns, five. One man came in there, usually with a wheelchair, no legs, off at the knees. The lady that called me, that's Friday evening, she said, "I told Jim," she said, "you know Jim, he comes to her Bible," she said, "you know Jim," she said, "I told him he's an awful man," he says he's having these hallucinations, he's having these dreams, she said, "I told him the devil's coming for him." I thought, wow, that's tough. She said, "Would you come and talk to Jim?" I said, "How about tomorrow afternoon, Saturday afternoon, I'll meet with Jim." Saturday afternoon came around and I went to that apartment, knocked on the door, and there was just Jim all by himself. His wife cleared out of there. It was just Jim and I. Precious time, you know what I mean? I don't know, but I knew this. I was sitting or standing on holy ground. And as Jim related to me what he was having, hallucinations and his dreams and his nightmares, he finally says, I started out by saying this. I said, "Jim, are you fearful of anything?" He says, "I'm fearful of nothing." He said, "I've been in a war. I've been in a service." He said, "I've been in many a barroom." He said, "The bigger they were, the harder they fell." He said, "I'd knock them out." I said, yeah. I said, Jim, are you afraid to die? And then there was a different Jim. See, dear ones, you may be able to knock them out of the barroom, but you can't knock away the spirit of the conscience. I share with Jim on the authority of the scriptures what the Bible says about getting to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I said, Jim, are you ready to accept the Lord? He said, yeah. I said, pray after. I said, well, let's pray about it. I said, the Lord's right here. I said, you just tell the Lord. And then he shocked me again. He said, I never prayed. I don't know how to pray. Now, dear ones, of all those assembled here tonight, you and I have heard many prayers, haven't we? We know how to pray. Jim didn't know how to pray. And so I said, Jim, you pray after me. I'd utter a few words, and he uttered a few words. I'd utter a few more, and he'd utter a few more. And that night, Jim accepted the Lord as his personal Savior. And I thought, did it really happen? You know what I mean? You don't know. I do know this, that once a baby accepts the Lord in its infancy, in their infancy like that, you need to get the Word of God in pretty soon. It's the manna, it's the milk of the Word, the manna. I got back there and I thought I sensed that Jim was a different man. I said, what about the dreams? He said, I've been sleeping pretty good. It was about a couple months later. His wife came to me, Mary. She says, Jonathan, she said, I don't know what you did to Jim, but she said, he's a different man. She said, I want to do what Jim did. Dear ones, glory, hallelujah. It went 2 years after that day. I was away. Phone call came. Jim's in the third floor ICU of Quakertown Hospital. I got home about a day later, and you know where I went. I went up to the third floor of the Quakertown Hospital. And there's Jim in that hospital bed. I began to realize that Jim was very, very, very sick. Thank God he's still coherent. I said, Jim, looks like it's not looking too good right now. I said, it looks like you're not far away from dying. You know what he told me? He said, I want to go home. Are you with me? Dear ones, he may have won many a bar fight, but those don't count. He won the most important war. A man that suffered with hallucinations, with dreams of terror, at death's door, he's given confession. I want to go on home. That wasn't all of it. He died in a few days. We had a memorial service, and his children came to me and said, Jonathan, we want to thank you. We don't know what you did to Jim, but Jim's been a different man. Tashana and Alicia, when the Spirit of God creates within us that child of His that we are, we become a new creature in Christ. Old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. May the Lord have his blessing. Shall we stand? our God, our Heavenly Father, as we have come before you this evening, how we pray, Lord, that there would be many more garnered into the fold of your love and grace of your salvation. We thank you, Lord, for these dear ones here this evening that have named your name, have called upon you. We pray for Tashana, we pray for Alicia, we pray, Lord, for their families, for their parents, for their siblings, for those that they would relate to and minister to. We just pray, Lord, that it would be by your divine spirit that there be a blessing, that there would be an air of your holiness about them, an air of your kindness, an air of your love, an air of the wonder and the beauty of the grace of God. And dear Father, we pray that you would keep them ever in the hollow of your hand until you receive them unto yourself. Oh, Father, we're so thankful for your faithfulness, and we pray, Lord, that you would also keep them faithful unto yourself. May they be shining lights in this dark and sinful world. May they give forth a voice of hope in the midst of despair. You know, Father, we pray, Lord, it will be to the glory and to the enhancement of thy kingdom. Thank you, Lord, for what you have done and what you will do. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.